There's going to be some time before they're able to do that. But to be honest, right now, as the spaceport is ready and ESAR is ready, the train is leaving the station. So we need to get this up and running to make sure that everybody draw in the same direction together. And to be honest, from a Norwegian point of view within the space business, I think we have quite a way to go. We have to find a coherent approach to how we want to do space business in the future to create Team Norway.
Hey, Space Watchers, this is Space Cafe Radio, your channel about trends, awesome events and interesting people in the space sector. This is a very special episode for me. An episode recorded 300 kilometers north of the Arctic Circle on Andøya Island. I was invited to attend the presentation and the handover of the strategic framework for the Spaceport Norway. Strategic framework means the potential development and opportunities that the spaceport will bring, from space business and an innovation hub to tourism, housing and connectivity for the island and the region. On the second day, I had the chance to talk with Ketil Olsen, CEO of Andøya Space, the organization that also runs Andøya Spaceport, the location that we could visit at the end of day one. For all of you that like to get an idea about this breathtaking location, please find pictures on our website and in the show notes. I also like to thank Innovation Norway for their support and that opportunity. I'm Torsten Greening, publisher of Spacewatch.global. Enjoy our conversation. Ketil, thank you very much for your time to have this interview here in person while we are in Andøya. It's the second day of this workshop after the presentation of the strategic framework. Maybe you can give us a bit of history of where Andøya comes from, where Andøya Space comes from, and then we talk about the future. But let's start about the vast history that you can offer.
Living up here in the north has always been fascinating concerning the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights. And in the late 50s, early 60s, the Norwegian Defence Research Institute and NASA decided that they want to do something together to study the aurora from within. So they decided we need to find a place along the Norwegian coast where we can launch a rocket into the aurora to get to study it from within. Which is quite fascinating because the best place they found was Andøya. And today, 60 years later, it's actually the most, probably the best part in the world for a polar and SSO launch for a satellite as well. So I think that's strategic thinking. But this happened 60 years ago. And in 1962, we launched the first suborbital rocket. Mm. So that's quite the heritage that we have with us. We've been here for more than 60 years. We've been in this place. We've been in Norway, and Norway's been using space since 1962. This is quite impressive for a small nation. And now we're ready to take the next jump to sending satellites into orbit. Of course, together with ESAR, but it's launching from Andøya.
So we had yesterday the opportunity to go to the launch site and take a bus tour, and the weather was fortunate for us, so we could see a bit. Can you tell us more about the development, where you are today, and what is the difference between Andøya Space and Andøya Spaceport?
So the heritage is Andøya Space, created back in 1960s, and that's the suborbital rockets, but also including a lot of ground-based instrumentation to study really the Aurora Borealis. And later, we established also a Andøya Space Defense, which is there for technology testing, both for producers of missiles and rockets, but also for users to come here and train. And we quite often see Norwegian armed forces, but also the whole of NATO allies coming. And then later, we also established Andøya Space Education around 2000, which is a task we have from the education department in Norway to spread the word about space, to learn people more about what's going on in space and to engage more. And as such, attract more people to the space business, but also attract for science and technology, engineering and mathematics, what do you in English call STEM?
STEM.
So it's actually to get women or girls more interested at the same time. So this is a sort of a win-win situation, and that's actually a task from the Ministry of Education.
And what age group is that you're targeting?
We're targeting from kindergarten and up to PhD level.
Oh, really?
So we have 2,000 students here physically at the island, coming from Norway, coming from Europe, but also from North America. Actually, we had a space camp in the beginning of August where we had two from even New Zealand coming up here. This is quite interesting. And at the same time, we also have 4,000 students that we visit in Norway, where we go out and visit them. Also, we have about 35,000-40,000 online. So there's quite a bit, not really business, but it's quite a way of disseminating the word about space.
Let's talk now about the status of the spaceport Andøya.
It was an initiative early back in the 1990s to start to see if there would be a market for starting sending satellites up in orbit. Didn't really take off. The technology wasn't mature enough and the money wasn't available. Mm-hmm. Then again, it was tried early mid-2005, 2010. And it didn't succeed that time either. But then Elon Musk come along. What he has done is amazing. He's a character in himself. But I think the way he has created the interest is really important and also paved the way for Andøya Space and for us to start this work on developing a spaceport. So over the last 4 to 5 years, we have been working hard as we got Ingun in as well to start to run the spaceport. And now when we finally got the allocation of money, the capital from the government back in 2021, this is now growing. And of course, I think that within the last 2 years since we got the green light to go on, I think there's been a tremendous development. And now it's there. You can physically see it as you saw yourself yesterday.
And you have with ESA Aerospace also your first client that will launch from there?
The current contract we have with ESA is for 10 plus 5 years. So there's an option in there. But really, this is a partnership more than a customer relationship. Of course, it's a customer too, but really this is partnership because we will not succeed without ESA succeeding. And of course, ESA needs us to have a place to launch from where they can be fairly confident that it's going to be okay. But I mean, if you look at the location, the geographical position of Andøya is fantastic. It's really created to be able to launch things into space, into orbit. Secondly, we live in a very stable political landscape. Norway is very stable in that respect. We're part of NATO and a big alliance. Mm-hmm. So I think for the future, this really supports or set up that if you want to launch from a safe place and be sure that you at least have the surroundings to be able to have success, you should come to Andøya and do that. That was the commercial, however, yeah.
As you referred earlier on to Elon Musk, the spaceport is not built up for launch bigger rockets. So we are talking about small launchers up to 1 ton to orbit. I think that's what ESA has in their current plans at the moment. So we talk about a 50 to 70 ton rocket, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
For now, we're building a smaller spaceport, which could take a rocket up to 100 tons. That's probably the maximum because of the safety area and all that comes with that. So, which means about 1,500 kilograms of payload. And ESA is perfect for that. The Spectrum rocket and what they're building right now is truly amazing. And the progress they're making is impressive. So I think that together, we will be able to succeed with this in the near future. For future stages, we have currently, and we've been talking a lot about the solar plan here at Andøya for the coming years, and we're building in a possibility in the future to have also maybe a larger rocket coming, should the market allow for that. But I think that has to be market driven. Right now, we're starting this up, we're getting this to function and to show the world that we are able to succeed.
The last days here in Andøya, we have eyewitnessed the handover and the presentation of the strategic framework for the island and the wider region. And Andøya Space, or Andøya Spaceport to be precise, plays an integral part of that. How do you see this future? Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Because in our visit yesterday to the spaceport, we have seen the temporary IAT, assembly and integration hall. We have seen the first pad, and we have seen a landscape, a huge landscape and a lot of space that has to be built up. So how will that happen?
Well, it's probably the most picturesque launch site in the world. Well, that's at least my opinion. And of course,
say that to the New Zealanders guys.
I won't. They have a pretty place too. I fully agree with you. Absolutely. No, but the interesting thing now about the strategic framework, the master plan that's now been laid on the table, because there's a long step from here to implement it and to see all the opportunities. But I think that this is a major step in the right direction. We have to provide a foundation for customers, and customers are king, to be honest. That's what we need. We need to see money coming into the investment as well. And with this plan that has now been laid on the table, we have a strategic way forward. But there are so many actions that need to be taken to bring this forward. And I mean, we as a business, we embark on this a long time ago. So we're fully on board. We're driving this forward. There is a long value chain, a big ecosystem in Norway for space businesses. We want to attract some of them to come to Andøya as well at the same time. We talked about during the presentation yesterday about that it's the launch segment that's really interesting for Andøya Space. That's where we are right now. But the nearest part of that launch level should also be the other steps in the value chain. So maybe we can attract other businesses, like a test center we've been talking about. Maybe in the future, we could have more launch pads. Maybe in the future, we could do stage testing, motor testing, and doing other stuff like that. So we have to see the possibility in the market and take that opportunity. But at the same time, we need the municipality. We need the regional government through the county, Nordland County, to be there to support us and be able to build an infrastructure that can support more launches and more businesses at Andøya.
It seemed for me yesterday with the presentation of the county that there is a support, an outspoken support for this project. So they see space as part of their future. Is that something you can second, or you say, let's see?
What I have experienced with Nordland County is a really keen interest to be part of this and to be supportive and to build the foundation for success in the future. They, of course, see more employers coming, the employees coming. They see that they can build a future for the businesses and as such, laying down the premise for success in the future. So I think that is coming along. I feel quite confident that they're able to do it. And of course, Innovation Norway, with what they've done now with the project that was put forward yesterday, we see that is something that's coming. Concerning Andøya municipality, they have a way to go. They have started ramping up now. We're bringing more competence in and being able to start work. There's a long way to go. But to be honest, this is something that you would expect. Business is running as fast as we can. At the same time, the public part of it is trying to following and to catch up as quick as they can. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be some time before they're able to do that. But to be honest, right now, as the spaceport is ready and ESA is ready, the train is leaving the station. So we need to get this up and running to make sure that everybody draw in the same direction together. And to be honest, from a Norwegian point of view within the space business, I think we have quite a way to go. We have to find a coherent approach to how we want to do space business in the future, to create Team Norway and to have a common goal or two or three, so we work in the same direction.
The vibes I get from Oslo in our conversation with the Norwegian Space Agency and other stakeholders are all on green. So everyone loves space, everyone wants to develop space. And so that seems very consensus set. From your point of view, what could be potential risks, potential fallbacks that can happen in the next 1 or 1.5 years until we see the first launch?
If you're looking at it from Oslo, from the participants or the institutions that we have there, I think that on the political side, they're not willingly enough to take the risk. If you look at the UK Space Agency, what they have done, and of course, it's provided money from the government, like the Norwegian Space Agency, but they're really willing to get all into this. I mean, it's the fastest growing market in the world. So let's embark on that train and be part of it. So I see that if we're not able to make this coherent approach, I think we need a new strategy and policy from the government. So what kind of interest and what kind of benefits do they see in the future from space business? And then they have to come up with a venture capital and be willing to take the risk. because there's so much award in the other end that I think it's exceptional, actually, what could come out of this. But that's, if they're not willing to do that, there will be up to smaller players like Andøya Space and others. And we have quite a few of them in Norway, but it's going to be up to us. And we don't have the muscles financially to be able to do that. Ingun running the spaceport, and for me being head of Andøya Space, we have weekly offers from private investors. But right now, it's about the state owning Andøya Space, 90% by the Ministry of Trade. And as such, there's no opening for private capital right now. But I think then the state has to understand that this is a possibility that they should take, but they also have to be willing to take the risk.
So next steps for you. If I'm not mistaken, then on the 2nd of November, there's the official opening of the spaceport. I think it's out in the press already.
It is.
Yeah, you're just preparing that with, I think the Crown Prince is even coming or maybe knocking on wood or so. What will happen thereafter?
We decided that we're going to build this spaceport in a record time using the new space initiative. Just go out and do it. So we have been a little reluctant to go out and say too much about it. We wanted to show it that you can come and actually touch it. You can touch the spaceport if you like today. And at the same time, working in partnership with ESAR. So this is a common approach. How do we do this? So then now, 2nd November, we are ready to launch it officially. As you said, and thank you to the Crown Prince for supporting this and being part of it. Of course, we have invited dignitaries from the national side, both politically and from other institutions. And of course, ESA is a big player in this, but also possible customers in the future. So we're trying to get all these people together to enjoy it, have a good time. They can touch the spaceport because it's there, it's ready. And from there, I think we have now to focus on getting more customers coming in. We want to build a second pad, launch pad, and we want to make sure that there's growth and development in this for the future. And at the same time, we're trying to take all the benefits or where we see synergies with the rest of Andøya Space, because defense and suborbital and education, they all play a part in what we do and being part of the heritage at the same time. It's just to lean forward, make it work, and to have good cooperation with the authorities, both locally, regionally, nationally, but also internationally.
As we are recording this interview, we have some weather outside. And for me, It's tough. It's heavy wind. It's heavy rain. The sea, at least in my observation, is very rough. I wouldn't go out today. How much is that an impact on a launch, or isn't it? Is that no weather today for you?
Well, 40 years in the military, being a Navy officer, weather is just something you adhere to. You try to do the best out of it and to mitigate the impact. And so it is for the spaceport and the suborbital part as well. So what we're doing is that we have weather data for the last 90 years. We've gone over it. We have seen that there's some limitations on the launch, of course, but that's a technical thing that in our current contract, ESAR has to tell us. But in general, you will have windows in between. It's not like it's blowing gale force 9 or 10 in a constant period. So you will actually almost every day have a window of opportunity to launch, but you just have to find it. But in general, I'm not too concerned about this. And obviously, ESAR isn't as well, since they have decided to take this contract. But of course, it can be challenging. But you have to find a way to mitigate that and to make sure that when you have the window, you have to be absolutely ready to go.
Kittel, thank you very much for your time. And I wish you good luck for the opening and then, of course, for the next steps on the successful path. And I think it can only be successful. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Torsten. Appreciate that you gave us the opportunity and looking forward to working closer together in the future as well.
Thank you.
If you have further questions, reach out to us at radio@spacewatch.global. If you like these or other episodes of Space Cafe Radio, leave us a rating on your preferred podcast platform. It is the currency of today. And if you want to stay on the pulse of the space industry, please visit our website at www.spacewatch.global and subscribe to our newsletters. And of course, don't forget to become a Space Watcher. I'm Torsten Kreening, publisher at spacewatch.global, your independent perspective on space.